First off, when were you, what date were you born?
September 15, 1930.
Okay. What country?
The Netherlands.
Netherlands. Where were your parents born?
Also in the Netherlands.
Alright. How old were you when you left the Netherlands?
26.
26. What were some reasons that you and, or was it just you that left, or was it here?
No, I came over with my wife. The main reason why I came over, I think, was because Holland is rather crowded. If you realize that Holland is about the size of the UP, and there is about 13, 14 million people in the Netherlands, so it's a very crowded country. I had gone through medical school, and I had finished, except for my internship, and I decided to do my internship here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And once I'd made that decision, I decided I may as well immigrate and stay, because I wanted more space, more room.
Yeah. All right. How did you travel to America?
We flew. Mm-hmm. And I said we, my wife and I, we got married just before we came over. And we flew over.
What is your wife's name?
Mm. Jacoba. You want the last name too?
Yeah.
Okay. Her maiden name was Schrader. Excuse me. S-C-H-R-A-D-E-R.
Okay. When did you get married?
Well, February the 14th. Which we found out later on is on Valentine's Day in this country, and 1956.
Okay, how did you meet her?
How did I meet my wife? At a dance on Fat Tuesday.
Okay. What was your port of arrival?
New York.
New York?
Mm-hmm.
How much schooling did you have in your native country?
I had a lot. I came over as a physician, except for my internship. I was finished in the Netherlands as far as my doctor's training is concerned. So I had grade school, high school, or the equivalent of it, college and medical school. Mm-hmm. And I did a number of years of research while I was in medical school, and I published a few papers while I was doing that.
What difficulties did you have adjusting to America?
Not many. I knew the language before I came. I had learned French, German, and English in high school and in college. And while I was studying, there were, at our medical school, as there were in a number of medical schools in Europe at that time, quite a few American students who could not get into medical school in the States. They came to Europe. So I was exposed to quite a bit of English through those students too. So, the language was no problem at all. For me, the most important problem, I think, was transportation, because I came without a driver's license. In Holland, the system didn't exist that exists here, but you get the driver's license when you're in high school, or at least you learn to drive in Holland. That's a completely different system. You don't start to drive until you're 18, that's number one. Number two, you have to get your own lessons and so on through driving school, and then you take your exam, etc., etc. And my first 2 years, I think, I wrote public transportation, buses and so on, and then trains, trams.
All right. When you came to America, did you immediately move here to UP?
No. As I said, I was finished in medical school except for my internship, so I had gotten an internship in Baltimore, Maryland. So we arrived in New York, and then there were some people waiting for us in New York. They put us on the train, and we went by train to Baltimore, Maryland. And there we were picked up by some people, and as a matter of fact, they were people who handled immigrants, and we were in their house for a little bit until we found ourselves an apartment, and I started my internship in Baltimore.
All right. What traditions and practices of your native land did you continue here?
Well, in the beginning, I suppose it was number one language that we kept speaking Dutch at home for a while. We kept on eating Dutch as much as possible for a while, because we were not used, of course, to the American food and so on. So it was a little bit different. Meat cuts and things like that are rather different, and the amounts of meat besides was rather different. So our eating habits stayed kind of Dutch for a while until we got used to the changes. But otherwise, we Americanized rather quickly.
Yeah. What was your early opinion of America?
Oh, space. Big. We ended up in a big city, but as soon as we managed to get out of the city every once in a while, you started to see how big the United States was. And the main thing I kept saying, this country's empty. This country's empty. And if I travel now, say from here to Colorado or wherever, and you drive, you still see this country is empty compared to the Netherlands. It's very sparsely populated compared to Europe.
Yeah. How did you, I answer that one? What surprised you about the United States and its people?
well, whether it was excuse me, whether it was surprising or not, but I thought that people were very friendly, extremely friendly and helpful to newcomers and to immigrants. We found them very nice, obviously, that they were so helpful. And yeah, kind of surprising, because I don't think you will find open arms if you come in any foreign country as well as we found them here. An example, through my wife, who was a nurse and who started to work in the hospital, we immediately met some people, other nurses, and one of those nurses' husband was an floor supervisor, yeah, can say it that way, at Sears Roebuck & Co., at Sears. And via that man, for instance, we were able to purchase furniture at markedly discount prices. We were immigrants, we had really no money, but they helped us right from the start through different methods, and this was one of them. We got
All right. Have you ever returned to Netherlands?
Yes, I've been back maybe 5, 6 times. Yeah.
What advantages did Netherlands offer that America doesn't?
Oh, I think the social services in the Netherlands are better than in this country overall. They say the care in some European countries is from the cradle to the grave, and that certainly is the case in the Netherlands. They have good health insurance and good retirement in general. But because of these things, taxes are terribly high to pay for all the social services that are available. Yeah.
Describe how you became an American citizen.
How?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. I became citizen while I was doing my surgical residency in Youngstown, Ohio. I applied while I was doing my internship in Baltimore. So then, let's see, I did my ECFMG. ECFMG stands for Educational Council of Medical Graduates. As a foreign doctor, you had to do exams to prove that you were medically up to par to practice. So I did that, and then I applied for my state board. I want to do a state board exam, of course, to get licensed here. And you needed your citizenship. And I was in Maryland where I first applied for my state board. So the quickest I could get my citizenship was in 3 years at that time. And I applied for it, and I got a couple doctors in Youngstown, Ohio, where I was at that time, sponsoring me. I learned the American history, what I didn't know already, especially, of course, the American political system, how we are governed, and so on. And fine, I took my little exam and passed, and I got my citizenship.
Okay. Do you have any family left in Netherlands?
Lots of family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a number of brothers and sisters and cousins, nephews, nieces. Yes, I have also family in Canada, and I had family in Africa.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I am number 9 of 12. We had a family of 12 kids. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are some ethnic foods in the Netherlands?
Pea soup, Dutch pea soup. They have what is called poffertjes. Those are little tiny pancakes, and you can buy those in Holland along the street. There are say tents or little places where they bake them. You buy 10 or 15 or whatever, a dozen, and you eat them while going. If you're shopping or so, you can stop and get those. That's typically Dutch. On New Year's Eve, every town smells like oil because they bake oil fritters, which is typically Dutch, especially for that time of the year. That's the only time really when they do that, and that's going on in every house, so that's why the whole town always smells like cooking oil.
Alright. Anything that you want to point out about the Netherlands?
Well, it is a small country. It is tremendously well organized. because there's such a tremendously big population compared to the small surface area. In order to not make it a mess, it has to be well organized. For instance, if you want to move from point A to point B, if it's a different town, you have to get a permit and so on. You have to let the government know that you're moving, because if you didn't, it would really be difficult to keep track of what's happening if everybody did that. So, as far as the social services are concerned, and the whole organization of the country, it's extremely well done.
Now these are going to be more just on you, not on the immigration,
mm-hmm.
and about your life. And what sort of a childhood did you have?
I was born and raised on a farm in a relatively small town in the Netherlands. I was number 9 of 12, and I grew up, of course, partly during the Second World War. We were occupied for 5 years during the Second World War, so that made for a rather difficult childhood. In the Netherlands, before the Second World War, we had the same problem going on as was going on here in this country during the Depression. The Depression was worldwide and was not just in this country also. So farming was not rich. We were basically poor, but managing. And I started working at the farm, well, basically probably when I was 6-7 years old, and I started milking. We had a milk farm, dairy farm. I started milking when I was 9 years old, and I did it up until I went to medical school.
All right. Were you a good kid in school?
Yeah, I think I was. Well, if I weren't bored, I was probably pretty good. But education probably was about the same as it was now, except probably somewhat slower. We had more school time than you have in this country. We didn't have as many vacations or as long a vacation as you have here, so we spent more time in school, and I think the teachers went slower, which made it difficult if you knew it already, and to be there, and so boredom sometimes was a problem. We had a system too in Holland where a kid could be out of school every once in a while for a couple of weeks to help at the farm, and I did that on a regular basis. My parents would ask permission to keep me home for a couple of weeks to help at the farm, harvest beets or whatever, make hay. So every once in a while I was out of school for 2 weeks. However, our vacations were 2 weeks for Christmas, 2 weeks for Easter, 1 month in the summer.
Yeah.
That was it.
So quite a bit shorter.
Oh yeah, right. Our vacations were much shorter. We had 2 months, and here in this country, I think it's still close to 4 months of the year.
What memories about your childhood do you remember best?
Well, of course, playing with my brothers and sisters and the neighborhood kids. We lived in a small neighborhood, and we had certain games that we played after work. Because we worked, and everybody always worked. So those are good memories. We lived on a dike. Now you have to understand the dike system. Holland, or the part where we lived, is about 30 yards below sea level. Yards, yeah. So in order to keep it from flooding, you have to pump the water up, and in order to keep it from running back, you have to put it in a canal. So there's a dike around a certain area of land, And on the dike is a road and a canal. And that's what the windmills were for, to pump the water from one level to the next, and then higher and higher, eventually high enough that it can run off to the sea. So we lived on a dike near a canal, and that was ideal for ice skating. So I could step out of the house with my skates on and be on the canal and skate and skate and skate. Especially during the war years, we were occupied, of course, by the German army for 5 years, from 1940 to 1945. That's when I was in grade school, and our grade school was occupied by the German army, so we had basically no school. And the schooling that we did get was at different houses, where there was a class here and a class at another house, where people had a room left over or so that could be used for teaching. So we went to different houses for our schooling. And we had half-day school, and if there was good ice, then we skated like crazy.
Are you close to your mother and father?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What were their names?
My father's name was my name, Martinez. He had I was named after him. And my mother's name was Catherine.
And can you spell both of those?
Martinez, M-A-R-T-I-N-U-S. That's basically, that's my name, yeah. And my mother's name, like in Katrina, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-A.
Right. What kind of people were your parents?
My father was obviously a farmer. Although he had not grown up as a farmer, he was trained as a baker. He had learned the baker's trade. But when he was ready to try to start his own business, there was no such thing as buying it. So he, through friends or how, I don't remember, but somehow or another, he got a hold of a little farm. And that was prior to the Depression years, and he managed to do some dairy farming.
What goals did you have as a child?
I think I wanted to do something in sciences, one way or another. First of all, I told you I started working at the farm and milking cows and so on when I was young, and I did it all through my years. So my main goal was get off the farm. I was crazy about farming. I didn't like the hours. I didn't like all the work that goes with it. So I wanted to get more education and not stay at the farm. So when I was probably about 12, 13, I started to think about going into the Air Force. I decided that I wanted to become a pilot. I liked flying, and I had a lot of interest in airplanes and so on. So after my secondary schooling, I had my physical for pilot, and they did not really accept me because they didn't think my depth perception was as good as it should be. They told me, from the sky you cannot tell the difference between a hill and a valley. So if you have to make an emergency landing, it could be embarrassing if you think you're going into a valley and it happens to be a hill. So they turned me down, and then I was kind of stuck, because I thought that I could have gotten my education basically paid for by the government, and that didn't happen. So I had to borrow money to go to medical school. And that's what I did. Instead of going into the Air Force, I went to medical school.
Who was your hero as a child?
Who was my hero? I don't know. It certainly wasn't. Well, Churchill probably came as close to being our hero as possible. Before that, probably some of those pilots who, like Charles Lindbergh, who did all their firsts. Lindbergh, of course, was the first one to fly across the Atlantic. There were some trips or some flight records set flying from Europe to Australia, New Zealand, and so on. And those pilots were my heroes, I think. That's where I got my interest in flying.
Mm-hmm. Do you regret that you didn't get into the...
in the Air Force?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. prefer that over being a doctor?
A doctor, I think I would have. Yes. Yep.
Is there something that your parents said that has affected you to this day?
That affected me to this day? How do you mean that?
Well, that I mean, you remember it and you recall upon it that your father or mother said something.
Not anything really specific, but my whole education and upbringing was... enough to remember. In a family with 12 kids, it has to be strict, otherwise it's chaos. And I remember, of course, helping. This is, everybody was expected to carry their load and do things. So that stayed with you. I also remember, in spite of the fact that I was born and raised at a farm, that both my parents pushed to get us an education, to keep pushing, to learn, and to learn as much as possible. They understood that farming was not what I wanted. And then I had brothers and sisters too, who ended up not farming, but as engineers and as dentists and teachers and so on. So we all went from the farm, and they all pushed education.
No, you said you were a child during World War II?
Mm-hmm. I was 9 when World War II started.
Yeah, what was your view of that?
Terrible. Yeah, I remember it. I was a kid and I was home, of course, and I was supposed to go to school, but I think it was probably 4 or 5 o'clock you started to hear the rumble of guns and cannons and airplanes coming over, paratroopers jumping. So, of course, over the radio you heard that the Germans had invaded the Netherlands and the fighting going on, so we didn't go to school. And I think it was 5 days, and on the 4th, they bombed the heck out of Rotterdam. And I remember seeing the fire. Rotterdam was too far away from us to see, but at night you could see, when it got dark, the fire in the distance, the city burning. And that's when Holland capitulated after 5 days. So I remember those things.
All right. Do you have any interests now that you do in the
that I pursue? Obviously the airplane interest is still with me, and instead of flying myself in an airplane, I've started to build model airplanes, and I fly those, and I pursue that hobby, because that's a hobby I like. I can do with this hobby what I couldn't do myself. I can try out different airplanes, different configurations, and so on, and play with that. I ski. I walk, I square dance, and those kind of things.
Alright. Do you enjoy being a doctor?
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, yeah, right. I still do, even though I wanted to be a pilot. But I'm not sorry that I chose this profession.
Okay. What is your favorite dish?
My favorite dish. Now you want me to find foods that are. I was going to say I have a sweet tooth, so anything sweet and chocolate I enjoy a great deal. As far as food otherwise is concerned, I don't know. I don't think I have anything that's really my favorite. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Were you involved in any sports?
Well, ice skating, of course, and I did both some speed skating and figure skating in Holland. So, yes, I was involved there. I did a little bit of soccer playing. It was, of course, popular in Europe, still is. So, when I was going to school, I was involved in that. I did a little bit, but not much, of bicycle racing, but just for fun, never organized.
Do you have any goals that you've set in the future?
My main goal is to get old. Yeah, I'm 67 now, so, but no, my goal is to see, of course, still my children all settled and educated and hopefully happy. My grandchildren, like to see them grow and go to school and so on, and hopefully enjoy my old age for hopefully a long time.
How many children do you have?
Five.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me their names?
Yes, the oldest is Theodore, Michelle, Marty, Brian, Angela.
All right. If you could do everything in your life over again, would you still move to America?
Oh yes, yeah, yeah. I would certainly move either to America or Canada or New Zealand or Australia, but I certainly would have gotten out of the Netherlands regardless of where I would have ended up. I had the opportunity to come to this country, and mainly because during the war, as I said before, I lost schooling, a number of years of schooling actually, and this helped me to be eligible to come to this country, just because I had lost a number of years of schooling through the war. So if I had not come to the States, I would probably have tried Canada, and otherwise probably New Zealand.
Who do you think influenced your life the most?
I think my mother.
Anything?
Mainly because she was the one that stressed education and that pushed us kids into trying to do the best we could in school, although my dad certainly stimulated that part too. But I think it was my mother who talked to us the most and had the chance to further our desire for education. I think this is what I'm trying to really say. Mother was our motivator, and she was. And that's where I think she had the most influence on what happened to me and how I turned out.
All right. Was it scary coming to America?
Yeah.
When I left out?
I did not think so, but I suppose in a way I belong to a family where we travel or we try different things. When I left for this country, I had already a brother in Canada, two sisters in Canada, and a sister in Africa. So we like to go and see things and see places. So I was not scared. Number two, I had already my education. I was already basically a doctor. So I knew that I could make a living. I knew I was going to be employed, although it was just as an intern and it was minimal income, but fine, I knew after that that I could make it. So I was not really worried or scared. I had, again, the advantage of knowing the language.
All right. What was probably your best memory?
Of this country or of the Netherlands?
Any.
Okay. The best memories are of your childhood and of mine too. In spite of the war, growing up in a big family was fun. We had interesting holidays and family celebrations and so on, and family life was really fun. And this is one of the things you miss when you immigrate. You lose your family and you lose the old customs of the old country. For instance, here we get our presents as children at Christmas. That's the time when all the kids are getting their presents. In Holland, it used to be at St. Nicholas, December the 6th. St. Nicholas would come with his Black Peter, and Peter being his helper, and he was and Dutch guy, of course, but they had made him black with shoe polish or whatever they use on their face. And children would get their presents on December the 6th. The adults would celebrate that feast too, but they did it in a different way. You gave your friends, your brothers, sisters, and so on a present. Little things, most of the time, but always with a poem written with it. But in the poem, you could, and that was the only day of the year, you could tell what you really thought of the person that you gave the present to. So you could heckle them, you could tell them all kinds of things that you thought might be funny. And then the poems, of course, were read when all the presents were unwrapped, and that was an interesting and funny situation most of the time.
Well, all right, that should just about wrap it up. I think I've got enough.
You've had enough of this, eh?